Welcome to Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio with author, speaker, and your host, Pat Rulo. Serving you a generous helping of everything you need to know to help you and your loved ones stay safe during any doctor or hospital visit. The program is not intended to replace medical advice from a licensed professional, but rather to encourage you to become a well-informed participant in your health and well-being. And now, your host, Pat Rulo.
Hello and welcome. I'm Pat Rulo, the voice for patient safety, where each week we delve into little-known healthcare and hospital hazards, as well as other fringe topics that affect your health and well-being. I'm so happy you've taken the time to join me, and today I have lots to share with you. So, let's dig right in, shall we? Death by light bulb. Oh, I want to share with you the proper protocol for cleaning up after a broken CFL light bulb. CFL stands for compact fluorescent light bulb, the new curly Q white ones that are supposed to save energy, whatever that means. Now keep in mind, these new CFLs contain mercury, a toxic element, whereby the inhalation of mercury vapor can produce harmful effects on the nervous, digestive, and immune systems, lungs, and kidneys, and may be fatal. In addition, they give off huge amounts of electromagnetic frequencies and high amounts of ultraviolet rays. Researchers have found that ultraviolet radiation seeping through CFL bulbs may damage skin cells, which indicate that exposure to CFL bulbs might be responsible for exacerbating certain skin conditions and skin cancer in humans. The issue comes from how CFLs are designed. Fluorescent lamps, large and compact, work by using electricity to excite mercury vapor inside the bulb. The excited vapor then emits invisible ultraviolet light that is absorbed by the bulb's phosphor coating. In turn, the coating re-emits the energy as visible light. Just a little science class here. But researchers found that UV light leaks more from CFLs compared to standard fluorescent tubes because the smaller diameter of the glass, coupled with its twists and turns, creates more spaces where the phosphor coating chips away, therefore letting more UV light escape. So now, let me share with you the guidelines taken directly from the Environmental Protection Agency's website. Instructions that we didn't need with the old-timey safe incandescent light bulbs. And this is all quoted. They say, before cleanup, have people and pets leave the room. Air out the room for 5 to 10 minutes by opening a window or door to the outdoor environment. Shut off the central forced air heating air conditioning system if you have one. Collect materials needed to clean up broken bulb. Stiff paper or cardboard. Sticky tape. Damp paper towels or disposable wet wipes for hard surfaces. And a glass jar with a metal lid or a sealable plastic bag. During cleanup, in all capital letters, it says, do not vacuum. Vacuuming is not recommended unless broken glass remains after all other cleanup steps have been taken. Vacuuming could spread mercury-containing powder or mercury vapor. Be thorough in collecting broken glass and visible powder. Scoop up glass fragments and powder using stiff paper or cardboard. Use sticky tape, such as duct tape, to pick up any remaining small glass fragments and powder. Place the used tape in the glass jar or plastic bag. See the detailed cleanup instructions for more information and for differences in cleaning up hard surfaces versus carpeting or rugs. Place cleanup materials in a sealable container. After cleanup, promptly place all bulb debris and cleanup materials, including vacuum cleaner bags, outdoors in a trash container or protected area until materials can be disposed of. Avoid leaving any bulb fragments or cleanup material indoors. Next, check with your local government about disposable requirements in your area, because some localities require fluorescent bulbs, broken or unbroken, be taken to a local recycling center. If there is no such requirement in your area, you can dispose of the materials with your household trash. If practical, Continue to air out the room where the bulb was broken and leave the heating and the air conditioning system shut off for several hours. If you are concerned about your health after cleaning up a broken CFL, consult your local poison control center. End of quotes from the EPA website. Now, who is going to do this? Or even know to do this if and when a CFL bulb breaks? Is this outlined as a warning on the package? Do we really need to get rid of a perfectly safe lighting option such as the incandescent light bulb in exchange for this bizarre health hazard? And again, in the event that someone does break a CFL bulb and doesn't understand the dangers, here is something frightening. In a study published in 2011 in the Journal of Environmental Engineering Science, Jackson State University, researchers reported that even if left unattended for 24 hours, a broken bulb will release from 0.04 to 0.7 milligrams of mercury. I don't know what that means. The researchers found that it would take weeks for the amount of mercury vapor in the room to reach levels that would be hazardous to a child, and that that can be avoided by quickly following the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's simple procedure for safe cleanup. Well, now that article is meant to make you feel good, that the amount is so small that as long as you clean up according to the EPA guidelines, you're okay. But what about the vast majority who will drag out the vacuum cleaner and blast the mercury vapor throughout the air? To me, that study simply confirms the danger. Doublespeak doesn't work here, folks. Now maybe you're sitting there thinking that I'm out of my mind to be concerned enough about a light bulb to even talk about it on this program. But keep in mind, it's all these seemingly little things that sneak into our everyday lives under the guise of smart this, savings that, that slowly but surely undermine our health. I don't know about you, but I don't want to turn on my lights and have to be concerned about ultraviolet light burning my skin, being bathed in a sea of high levels of electromagnetic frequencies, and heaven help us if I drop one. Mercury vapor inhalation? Death by light bulb. Is there a medical code for that?
Tired of the same old presentations?
Can you forward to slide 38, please?
Are you looking for a new, out-of-the-box topic for your next event?
Want your group to leave inspired, informed, and satisfied?
No PowerPoint presentations and dim lights here. No snoring or snoozing goes on during Pat's presentations. To help your entire group, organization, business, or church stay safe during any healthcare or hospital experience, invite Pat to speak. Pick a topic from her website or request your own. Visit her website, speakupandstayalive.com, or call Pat to discuss how she can make your next event fun, enlightening, and life-saving.
Want testimonials?
Go to the bulletin board link at the website for color pictures and comments from real people. Again, it's speakupandstayalive.com or call 440-725-5462. That's 440-725-5462.
And now, let's spend the next 2 minutes with two of my friends who know how to speak up. They have something to say to improve your day. If you love pets, then you simply must listen to my friend Susan Marie and her wonderful radio show called The Doggy Diva Show, heard each week on speakuptalkradio.com. That's right, each week The Doggy Diva Show focuses on topics that matter most to all pet owners. Within the 60-minute format, Susan shares information and news of importance within the animal community while spotlighting the pet tip of the week to keep you informed about important health issues that affect your four-legged friends. Visit DoggyDiva.com. And now here's Susan.
This is Susan Marie from The Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. Please join my canine co-host, the Doggy Diva herself, Miss Olive, and I as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you each week on Speak Up Talk Radio, or please visit us at our website at thedoggydiva.com. Have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Next, I have a very lovely friend, Veronica Entwistle, who hosts a podcast on speakuptalkradio.com. Veronica is gifted with the conscious presence of guides and intuition and healing energy. And for many years, she has helped people find out their truth of being through her workshops and her private telephone readings. Let her do one for you. Visit veronicaentwistle.com or call her at 510-595-5564. That's 510-595-5564. Take a listen.
Hello, I'm Veronica Entwistle, host of Paradigm Shifters, sharing the thought processes of more than 200 amazing creators. Tune in and explore the revolutionary and evolutionary minds of inventors, leaders, magicians, artists of all sorts launching ventures and courageously pushing through limitations in human possibility. Listen to me on Speak Up Talk Radio, iTunes, and my site, veronicaentwistle.com.
Well, we're back. I am Pat Rulo, your host at Speak Up Talk Radio. Recently, I have had the pleasure of adding another podcast to the lineup at Speak Up Talk Radio. It's called Tapping Q&A Podcast. And I have always been interested to learn more about EFT, tapping, emotional freedom techniques. And today is the day because right now I have the host of the program with me. He is Gene Montristelli. Gene found his way to tapping when he was looking for something to help with his social anxiety. He has studied hypnotism, NLP, guided imagery, parts work, and meridian-based tapping protocols, including EFT. Gene works with clients from all over the world, one-on-one, over the phone, and Skype in a number of areas, including, but not limited to, stress, smoking, limiting beliefs, anxiety, learning disabilities, pain management, and relationship issues. And he is here today to share tapping. So let's get started. Welcome to the network, Gene.
Thanks, Pat. I appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate having you. I have always been interested in this, but just never stopped to take the time to really delve deeply into it. So I'm really, really excited for today. Well, now, you said that you had personal reasons that caused you to seek some kind of a solution, and that's when you discovered tapping. So what is tapping, and then how did it help you?
Absolutely. Tapping is a technology that uses the meridian system. And so I guess the easiest way to explain it to people who don't have experience with it is it's kind of like acupuncture, but instead of using needles, you're just tapping on the points that acupuncture needles would go into. And since you are tapping on those points, it is something that's very easy to self-apply. And so it takes this amazing system in the body that allows us to do transformation, and it gives people access to use that to create transformation right at their fingertips wherever they are.
Okay. So what kind of things does tapping work for?
So the types of things that tapping typically fall into two categories. One is for physical issues and one is for emotional issues. When it comes to physical issues, tapping is very, very effective for pain management, as well as very effective for kind of helping the body speed the healing process. It doesn't provide healing itself. The body is always doing that, but it's helping remove blocks that are slowing the healing process down. I personally have seen it be very, very effective when I've had scrapes and cuts and burns and warts. It speeds the process that the body is going through. When it comes to emotional issues, for me, the way I would describe it is tapping is a very effective tool for allowing us to have well-informed, proportionate emotions. So it's not something that is making us emotionless. Emotions are good and useful. If you have a loved one who dies, it is appropriate that you are sad by that. If you're in a circumstance where 3 times a week, you are going to the gravesite, you are laying roses, you're crying for 45 minutes, and this extends for 10 years, then we've probably gotten to the place where that is a disproportionate response. It makes sense that when I get cut off on the highway that I get angry, because that anger is a rush of energy that's helping me focus so I get out of it safely. If I spend 45 minutes following the person around and then scream at them when they get to their house, that's a disproportionate response. Misinformed. It is great that I am afraid of tigers. If I don't leave my apartment in Brooklyn because there is a tiger at the Bronx Zoo, then that's something that has gotten too big. If I see a mouse run across the floor and I jump on the table and I scream like a 5-year-old, it's it's misinformed because I'm not actually in any sort of danger. Mm-hmm. So what the tapping tool set allows us to do is it allows us to take those natural emotional responses but gets them into a place where they're well-informed and they're proportionate, which allows us to navigate the day in a healthier way.
I love that. I wrote that down. Well-informed, proportional emotions. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Right. So now, the tapping, it's not just tapping on these meridian points, and I want you to walk us through that in a minute, but there's got to be some sort of self-talk or mantra or something that goes along with that?
Well, basically what needs to happen is we need to be bringing our attention to the issue that we want transformation for, and that can happen lots of ways. I mean, sometimes it's going to be about saying phrases, and sometimes it's just going to be tuning in. So let's pretend that I was going to be tapping on a pain in my knee. It's possible for me to be in a circumstance where I'm saying, I have this pain in my knee, and it really hurts, and as I'm saying those words, that is bringing attention to my knee while I'm tapping. At the exact same time, I could be going, this pain in my knee, and really I'm thinking about the laundry that needs to be done and the bills that I need to pay later this afternoon and cleaning up the kitchen. And so just because I'm using words does not mean it is guiding me to be attentive to what is going on, but using words can be really effective in helping us to do that. So it's really, for me, I kind of think of this little math problem. It's tune in plus stimulating meridian points equals relief. And the way that we tune in can be a whole host of ways. And in this case, the way that we're stimulating is by providing tapping. There are other ways that that could happen.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you think of these words, or you're thinking this in your head or saying it out loud, you said my knee hurts or there's pain in my knee. Is it better to be put in a positive frame, like my knee is healing?
So the really interesting thing about the critical voice that we have is if we have a negative emotion about something, the critical voice is going to speak it up. So let's pretend that I'm really frustrated with the fact that I'm overweight and I feel disempowered that I'm not actually going to lose the weight. So my emotional state is I have failed before, I'm going to fail again. So if I say I've failed before and I'm going to fail again, emotionally I can just feel my body sink into that. Or if I say this time's going to be different, I'm going to lose weight, the critical voice, if it disagrees with that, instantly is going to say, no, you're not. You failed before, you're going to fail again. And so if there is something that is negative there, then the critical voice is going to present it. So I find using both positive and negative phrases is useful in helping us to tune in, but it's not a requirement to do one or the other because we're working. For me, it's not as much an issue of installing something that is positive. Instead, it's a process of erasing away the things that are unuseful to us. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people who grew up in households that were very, very chaotic. And the safest thing for them to do was to have their head down and not be noticed. And in the world, that's not a great way to live. But at that point in their life where they were small and didn't have standing and didn't have opportunity, it was the best possible choice. And so they believed, I need to keep my head down, that belief is no longer useful as an adult, as someone who has opportunity in the world. So it's about letting go of the belief that is no longer useful. It also allows us to prevent having judgment for picking up those beliefs in the past, because it's really easy with my vision of today and insight into the world to look into my past and go, oh my gosh, I was so dumb that I believed that and acted that way. But that's because I'm judging my past with information I have now that I didn't have then. And so it's, again, letting go of what is no longer useful, which helps us to step into who we are and what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. Understood. So with tapping, there's a lot of introspection that needs to take place, but people always want to feel like they're doing something. You know, that's why people mm-hmm. go and work out. So the tapping kind of gives you the physicalness of it, if that's a word, kind of a physical way to combine that with looking in at the same time.
Well, it does. And what it also does is it also speeds the process, because if it was simply a matter of intellectually recognizing a pattern was unuseful, then transformation work would be really easy. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a myriad of bad habits that I have in my life that I know are bad habits. I know they're bad choices. There are even times when I'm making that bad choice that I know it is a bad choice. The intellectual insight into recognizing it is an unuseful pattern is not enough.
Right.
And so we can't think our way out of this, or we would already have changed. And so it's more than just, it's a physical thing that helps me do something. By entering in through the body, we're actually creating transformation in the subconscious mind that we can't do by just thinking our way into that change.
Right, right. So let's talk about physically what we do when we tap. Maybe take us through that process. What are we tapping? Where are we tapping? For how long
Absolutely.
Are we tapping?
Yeah, so the tapping points themselves, I'll give a brief explanation. I'm sure at some point we'll be able to send people to a resource where you can see a picture where it's a little bit easier. The basic tapping points are, and when we tap, we're tapping with two or three fingertips. We're tapping as hard as tapping on someone's shoulder to get their attention. And anytime I'm giving this instruction, I tell people, always, always, always take 100% responsibility for your physical body. If something is painful, don't do it. Just because I'm saying, this is the way we get relief. If you're doing it and it's causing discomfort, stop, stop, stop. Make sure you're making really good choices. So the tapping points that I normally use, because again, we're using this meridian system that has over 250 tapping points, we just use a really small subset of that. The first one is the tippy top of the head, and it's exactly that. The last time you went into the doctor and they measured your height and the little measuring thing hit the top of your head, that's the tippy top of the head. Your brain is under there. Be careful when you're tapping there. The second tapping point is the inside of the eyebrow. So it's basically following your eyebrow all the way to the bridge of your nose without falling down on the bridge of the nose. The third tapping point is the side of the eye. And basically, if you were wearing glasses and you followed your glasses from your ear to the eye, it's right on the edge of the eye socket. Again, if your vision is blurring and you're seeing spots, you're tapping in the wrong spot. So just right gentle there. The fourth spot is under the eye, which is directly below the pupil on your cheekbone. You have a sinus cavity under there. Because of a history of sinus infections, I know that spot's particularly sensitive, so be careful. Under the nose is directly below the nose and above the upper lip. Chin is not your chin bone, but it's between the point of your chin and your lower lip. So it's kind of above that ridge. With the collarbone, there's a spot that's underneath the collarbone. I typically just take a flat hand and just tap on the top of my chest because I get the spot because there's no penalty for not. And then the last spot that I use is under the arm. It's under your armpit. If you are wearing a bra, it's about bra height. If you poke around in there, there's a tender spot. And that's enough points for you to get started. And so basically, when you're working on something, you would just tap 5 to 7 times on a point, and then you move on to the next one. 5 to 7 times, you move on to the next one.
Okay, so as you're tapping, then you're thinking about the area of pain, or you're thinking about the emotional thought that you want to change as you're doing this?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So for physical pain, basically what I do is I imagine I am describing the physical pain to someone else. So let's pretend it's my knee. It's kind of like, I have this pain in my knee, and it feels sharp. It's behind my knee. It's behind my kneecap. If I were to paint it a color, it would feel like it was red. It feels hot. It extends down the back of my calf. And so basically, I'm just describing it in as much detail. Now, all of those things that I said in description weren't diagnostic. It's not like because I would paint it red, it means something. It's just getting me to tune into it. If I was dealing with something that's emotional, I would just pretend that I'm sitting across the coffee table with a friend and I'm giving them the details and I'm describing the emotional charge. You know, I'm really frustrated by the fact my sister isn't listening to me and she disregards everything that I say. And when she disregards what I say, I feel unimportant. And because I feel unimportant, I feel unheard. I want to have a deep connection with her, but I can't because she's not listening. So I'm basically just describing my experience and how I feel as if I was doing that to a friend.
And for folks listening, there's just so much more at your website. It's tappingqna.com. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes. At this point, there's over 750 free resources on the site. Mm-hmm. 310 of them are podcasts, and about 100 of them are what I call tap-alongs. So it's not instruction. It's not me interviewing an expert, but it's literally me leading you through how to tap for an issue. So if there is something in one of those lists, like for physical pain or weight loss or self-esteem, basically what you do is you're able to hit play. You just move from tapping point to tapping point, and you just repeat after me. I say a phrase in the recording. You get a chance to repeat it back. I say a phrase. You repeat it back.
There's just a wealth of information at your site. So we obviously can't cover everything today, but you surely do at your website, which is tappingqna, stands for questionandanswer.com.
Once you go through the basics of tapping, there's a guide that teaches you the basics. There's a picture to show you what we talked about today. Just go into the search box, type in the topic. You'll be shocked and amazed to find that we've probably already covered it. Mm-hmm. That's the nice thing of having over 175 interviews on the site, is I found issues, I found people who specialize in it full time. So once you know the basics of tapping, they show you how to just cut to the chase and be more successful with that particular area or struggle.
Thank you for doing all of this work. The website is very rich in content. So it's tappingqna.com. Tappingqna.com. So I'm going to encourage everyone to listen to the podcast. It's new now on the speakuptalkradio.com website, speakuptalkradio.com. But for sure, head over to your website, Gene, tappingqna.com. Wow. Thank you so much for enlightening me, and I'm sure everyone else listening today. You've just been such a pleasure. Thank you.
I really appreciate the opportunity and the invitation.
I'd like to remind you to get a copy of the book by my friend Gina Murphy Darling, who hosts Mrs. Green's World. The book is called Your Mother Called, meaning Mother Earth, You'd Better Call Her Back, where she identifies many of the incredible environmental challenges we face as a human race and offers one woman's solutions on how we can begin to live intentionally to help preserve the very planet that gives us life. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com or call Gina at 520-230-3977. That's 520-230-3977. Here she is.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green, and I would love for you to become a part of my world. Mrs. Green's World is an engaged international community and a global movement of ideas and action made up of people who truly care about their own health and the health of this great planet of ours. In Mrs. Green's World, we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to. Our guests from all over the world will give you plenty of things to think about. Please visit my website at MrsGreensWorld.com and become a part of our world.
Next, if you or someone you know is caring for someone else, then you need to read the book written by my friend, Jana Panaritis. The book is called Scattered, My Year as an Accidental Caregiver. Scattered, it sheds a much-needed light on the plight of baby boomers everywhere, eager to thrive in their own lives, but put to test by aging parents, often unprepared for what lays ahead. And you can find out more at her website. It's agewise.com, and it's spelled AGEWYZ. Or call Jana at 800-590-2129. That's 800-590-2129. Here she is.
Hi, I'm Jana Panaritis, host of the AgeWise podcast. Did you know that in the United States, nearly 44 million people provide unpaid care to a family member, friend, or relative? I'll bet you're one of those caregivers. On the AgeWise podcast, we celebrate your work with stories from the field. Join me as we share, and know you're not alone. Listen to a brand new episode each week at speakuptalkradio.com. To learn more about the show, visit the AgeWise website. Go to AGEWYZ.com.
Time always goes by so quickly when we're together. But the good news is, I'll be back next week. Same time, same place, but never the same information. And tune in to my additional program called Speak Up Talk Radio, heard every Sunday evening at 6 o'clock p.m. on WHK AM 1420. Until we meet again, I hope you have a healthy and a happy week. I am Pat Rulo, and I am your guide to safe and successful healthcare and hospital encounters.
Listen to Pat Rulo and Speak Up and Stay Alive Radio. Stay safe from little-known healthcare and hospital hazards. To learn more, go to speakupandstayalive.com. That's speakupandstayalive.com.
Do you need prompt, reliable heating repairs? Don't know who to call for reasonable rates and speedy service? I'm Pat Rulo, host of Speak Up Talk Radio, and I have the answer. BNK Heating and Cooling, serving Cleveland, Ohio. They helped me this winter, and they can help you. Call 216-210-2529. That's 216-210-2529. Or visit their website, bnkheating.com.